Blog Talk Radio.
Radio coverage for your Miami
Heat fans. I'm Joshy Lord, joined tonight by Dylan Goldman. How is it going, Dylan?
I'm good, Josh. How are you?
Hey, I can't complain. We're going to watch some basketball later today, and that's always awesome. And this is MSL Radio's Miami Heat pregame show, and we're going to be taking a look at the first time the Boston Celtics are going to be visiting South Beach this season. Dylan, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the Heatwave show from Sunday, but Sylvie and I just gave like a quick preview on this game, and of course we're going to go a little more in-depth tonight. But the Celtics are one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Just, I mean, given how bad they were 2 years ago, you wouldn't expect them to be as good as they are as quick as they've been. Real quick, what are your thoughts before we start diving into the nitty-gritty with this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I mean, the Celtics team, you know, they've had some really good wins this year, and they've had some, you know, questioning losses, but they have talent all around. Brad Stevens has really made this team a really good team. Isaiah Thomas is the sixth man. He's coming off the bench. He's averaging 21.1 points per game. Jared Sullinger, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart. You know, this team has a lot of talent. You know, they will throw a lot at you. They are very good defensively. You know, the offense, you know, is not the best yet. You know, they also have Evan Turner. They have rookies like RJ Hunter. You know, they have a lot of really good talent on this team, young talent and a lot of good defensive players. So, I mean, they will throw a lot at you. They are not the most explosive team. They're not the most exciting team, yet they are a very good team defensively, and Brad Stevens has made this team much better. I mean, you mentioned 2 years ago they were just a really bad team. Last year they snuck in and as the seventh seed in the playoffs. So, I mean, this is a team that you can't, you know, you look at their 9-8 record, I mean, they're above 500. You know, they will throw a lot at you. They are a very good team overall. They play good fundamental basketball, so it's definitely going to be a good game tonight, very evenly matched.
Just looking at teams who have the brightest futures over the next 5 years, you've definitely got to include the Celtics in this. Because
yes.
Guess whose pick they have this year because of from, like, 3 years ago?
The Brooklyn Nets from the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce draft night, yep.
Yeah, and that has a realistic chance of being the top pick and being Ben Simmons. And I don't know if you've gotten the chance to watch that kid play yet, but he's going to be something special. Some people say he's got the Magic Johnson passing gift. I'm just old enough to see Magic Johnson play ever live, but he's also 6'10". So we're talking about basically a guy who passes like LeBron and is a little bigger than him.
Yeah.
But
yes,
before I start gushing about Simmons anymore, let's get into this matchup. All right, as we normally do, we're going to take a look at each team's starting lineup, starting with the visiting Boston Celtics. At point guard, Isaiah Thomas, no relation to the one of the greatest point guards of the game, Isaiah Thomas, who played for the Detroit Pistons his entire career and unfortunately ran the Knicks into the ground in the mid-2000s. At shooting guard, Avery Bradley. At small forward, Jay Crowder. At power forward, Amir Johnson. And at center, Jared Sullinger. For Miami, we've got the same start. Well, hopefully we're having the same starting lineup as we did last game. Chris Bosh is listed as a game-time decision because of an illness. But right now, the starting lineup looks to be Goran Dragic at point guard, Dwayne Wade at shooting guard, Gerald Green getting the start again in place of Luol Deng, who's been listed as out because he's still experiencing tightness in his hamstring. Chris Bosh at the four, and Hassan Whiteside holding it down in the middle of the paint. So, Dylan, who do you think wins the point guard matchup?
You know, Goran Dragic is still experiencing struggles. He still hasn't really picked up the pace. I mean, he's still not at the pace of where he was last year. He's a very talented point guard. I'm not taking that away from him, but I'm going to give this one to Thomas. I mean, this guy is such a streaky shooter. He can get hot basically at any time. He can really shoot from anywhere on the floor. He's just 5'9", but he can drive. He can shoot threes. He can shoot mid-range. He can do whatever. He is a scrappy player. Many people overlook him because of his size, but, you know, size for him doesn't matter. He really is a spectacular player. He leads the team in scoring. So I'm going to give the edge to Isaiah Thomas just because I'm evaluating this year's performance. And Dragic is still trying to pick up the pace. I mean, he's been doing a little bit better. I mean, now he finally leads the team in assists with just 4.5. Isaiah Thomas also leads the team in assists. So I'll give the slide up to Thomas. I just think he's a more electric player. He's the player that can really make a difference for the Celtics team. So I'll give the slightest edge to Thomas here. But no, I'm not taking anything away from Goran Dragic. It's just, you know, I think that Thomas is a more impact player and that he'll make the more of a difference in tonight's game.
Yes, Thomas definitely is one of the most underrated players. They loved him in Sacramento before he got traded away from there. Always a fan favorite. Also makes me wish I spent more time in the gym in high school because I'm literally bigger than him, so there's that. But I agree with you. He's got the edge. He's been playing a lot better this season than Dragic. And he's easily in contention for Sixth Man of the Year. Now, I know that sounds like a misnomer, given that he's in the starting lineup, but he's starting in place of Marcus Smart, who is out until about Christmas, is what they're saying, with a knee injury he suffered last week. Going down the lineup, we have Avery Bradley up against Dwayne Wade. I think this matchup is probably closer than most people think. I'm still going to give the edge to Wade because we know that he can be a truly great player on the offensive end at times. But he's one of the guys who's got enough length and physicality to really make Wade work for him and could potentially shut him down. Now, I don't think that's going to happen tonight, but it is something to watch out for. Dylan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, definitely you're right. I mean, Avery Bradley has played very well this season. He's shooting the ball from behind the arc a lot better this year. He's a very scrappy defensive player. He really is a great fundamental basketball player. He can really, you know, do a lot. He really is a very good defensive player. He's added, you know, he's really getting better at his perimeter shooting. And his defense is his number one key, you know, skill that people always look at. And you're right. I mean, very easily he could shut down Dwayne Wade. Do I think shut down? I don't think so. But I think he can contain him. But I don't have to give the edge to Wade just because, you know, Wade's been a proven superstar. He's not, you know, at the top, but he's still one of the best players in the league. He's been playing pretty well this season. I just have to give the edge to him. I just don't think Bradley's gotten to the point where you can say he wins the matchup against Dwayne Wade. But he's getting there. He's really improving his game, and he's, you know, a dangerous player. He's a good player. He's a very scrappy player. So I don't think you can say I don't think I can give the edge to Bradley just yet. I still have to give it to Wade, but it's much closer than people would think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on. We've got Jay Crowder, who was the crowning jewel of the deal that sent Rajon Rondo to Dallas last year up against Gerald Green, the free agent signing from Phoenix. Both of these guys started last season with different teams, and they both have been made meaningful impacts for their teams, their new teams since then. I've got to go with Crowder. He's the epitome of the type of player that they have in Boston right now. Pretty good, a decent three-point shooter, hitting 31% of his threes, but he really makes his bones on defense. He's one of those, I would call him a diet version of Damari Carroll. He does a lot of the same things that Damari Carroll does. And given that he's only 25, I think he can get to that level later on in his career. Gerald Green, he's an electric scorer. He's been a lot better on defense this season than I ever thought he would be watching him in the past. But there's a reason why he's been coming off the bench his entire career and why he signed for the Vets minimum this year. I've got to go with Crowder on this one. Dylan, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I have to agree. I mean, this is a very close matchup. You know, Crowder, you mentioned, I mean, he is a really good player. His you know, he really relies on defense. He is one of the best defenders. Definitely, he's one of the most underrated defenders in this league. Definitely one that the Celtics rely on to defend, some of the best in the league. You know, I think I have to agree at this point because Gerald Green is offense, really. He's an electric scorer. He's a dunker. He's one who can bring the team's energy up, usually as a sixth man, but obviously with Luol Deng out, he is starting. So, you know, I think I'll agree. I think it's a really close matchup. But Crowder is younger. He is faster. He's stronger. He really can defend. You know, and Green, you're right. He has been improving on defense this year, but he's still nowhere near the level that Crowder is at. So I'll have to give the edge to Crowder here. I just think he wins the matchup. I think that Green will not be able to do as much as he has in the past few games. So I'll give a slight edge to Crowder, but both of these players will provide for a very interesting matchup tonight.
Yeah, also, a thing to know about Crowder, he's actually got the versatility that when you go in small ball lineups, you can play him at the power forward, which is something Gerald Green definitely can't do. I mean, Gerald Green's 6'8", but he looks like he might weigh, like, maybe 200 pounds on a good day after a Thanksgiving dinner. So that's another reason you've got to give the edge to Crowder. All right, next up we've got Amir Johnson against Chris Bosh. If Chris Bosh is good to go and healthy, I got to give the edge to Bosh, but given the circumstances, I'm leaning towards Johnson winning the matchup tonight. He's a really good defender, great rim protector, has the foot speed to get out and defend perimeter defenders. So far this season, Amir Johnson has a 98 defensive rating, so he's being an above-average defender, which is something you always like to see in you get big men. Dylan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends, really, you know, whether it's going to be McRoberts starting or Bosh starting, whoever is going to be starting. You know, Bosh, if he starts, is definitely not going to be 100%. It's going to be a very close matchup, but I don't know. I mean, I think I'll still have to give a slight edge to Bosh just because I think he provides more of an offensive, you know, he provides more of an offensive punch. Amir Johnson has averaged just 7.3 points a game. You know, no credit, you know, taken away from Johnson. He's a very good player. He's a defensive player. But Bosh is very skilled all around. But it really all depends. It's whoever's starting, if Bosh will not go, then I'll give the matchup to Johnson, whether it's McRoberts or whoever's starting in place of Bosh. So it really all depends. If it's Amir Johnson versus Chris Bosh, I'll give it to Bosh. If it's Johnson versus whoever's replacing Bosh, I'll give it to Johnson just because he is a very good defender. He has a lot of skills. He doesn't really show up in the box score, but he'll make the difference on different things you won't see in the box score. So, like I said, it depends. If it's Johnson against Bosch, I'll give it to Bosch, even though he won't be at full strength. But if it's a reserve going up against Johnson, I'll definitely give it to Johnson.
Yeah, and also just a note, and I've got no insider information. This is purely me just going off of things and patterns I've noticed in conjecture. I think that Jarnell Stokes, who was recently called up from Sioux Falls, gets the start tonight. Just because Spoelstra's shown he likes to keep his rotations basically the same. And when it comes to Gerald Green starting, he's really just playing two more minutes with Justice Winslow taking the bulk of the small forward minutes. He's still averaging over 30 minutes a game. And also, the time Wade missed, it wasn't Tyler Johnson who got the start. It was James Ennis. Josh Richardson who got the start. Wow. I was mixing my players up. Yeah, so that's why I think Stokes might get the nod tonight.
Yeah, then I would definitely give it to Johnson just because, you know, Stokes, he hasn't really proven he's a very talented player, that's for certain, out of Tennessee, but he hasn't really shown me yet what he can do in this league, so I would give the advantage to Johnson if that is the case. So it all depends on who starts tonight.
Yeah, Stokes, a talented player, was beasting on everybody in the D-League, but, you know, the D-League's a lot different than the majors. Some players can hack it there, but there are some guys who are in their 30s and still in the D-League, so you never know with the call-ups. All right, last starting matchup we're looking at, Jared Sullinger against Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside by a mile, purely for the fact that even though Sullinger's finally gotten himself into better shape, he is still very pudgy. I'm not going to lie. He has taken over Big Baby Glenn Davis, has passed over the title of professional athlete who looks athletic to Jared Sullinger now. Also, Sullinger's only 6'9", and he's going to be guarding Hassan Whiteside. That's just not fair. I don't think a 6'9 Rasheed Wallace would be able to contain Whiteside the way he's been playing this season. Dylan, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no way I'm not going against Whiteside. I mean, no discredit to Sullinger. He's finally, you know, improving. He's in shape. He was criticized for being out of shape, but he's finally getting back. You know, he likes to shoot the three. He likes to do it. He's not the most accurate from the three-point range. You know, Whiteside is going to very easily win this matchup. Whiteside is much more taller. He has the advantage. You know, he'll post him up. You know, Sullinger is a good post defender, but when you're playing someone like Hassan Whiteside, you know, I don't know if that will be the case or not. So, I mean, definitely Hassan Whiteside. Sullinger just doesn't match up with Whiteside. Sullinger is very talented, but you just can't match him up with Hassan Whiteside and expect to say he'll win the matchup unless, of course, you know, Whiteside gets in the foul troubles, then we're talking about a different player. But definitely by a mile, it would definitely be Hassan Whiteside, especially right now at this moment.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if Brad Stevens just gives a lot of time to Kelly Olynyk and Tyler Zeller, who are both seven-footers, and they do different things. Kelly Olynyk is a better offensive player than he is on defense. He's got three-point range, a really good passer for someone his size. So they might look to go that and try and drag Whiteside out of the paint. And if they go with Tyler Zeller playing more minutes, it's really just let's see how much we can contain Hassan Whiteside by throwing another seven-footer who he's going to have to try harder against and exert himself more on offense. Maybe that'll wear him down a bit on defense, or maybe he'll just be like, you know what, let's not even bother on offense and try to focus on defense. Either way, it'll be interesting to see which way that Stevens goes with this whole, his rotation tonight.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, because, I mean, I would expect him, you know, you mentioned Olenek, you know, Zeller definitely, because he's 7 foot. He is a decent defender. I think he would definitely match up the best with Whiteside, and then Olenek would definitely be the best offensive option. So it's, you know, going to be interesting to see how he manages that matchup tonight.
Yeah, and real quick before we move on, who do you think wins the matchup of the benches? I got to give the nod to the Celtics just because I'm looking at the injury report for the Heat. Bosch isn't the only game-time decision. Both Anderson and Stoudemire are game-time decisions. Honestly, that might be why Stokes got called up, because everybody in the front court got sick with something. Okay, it's uncanny to have three players game-time decisions with illness.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I'm definitely giving this edge to Boston. You know, coming in the Heat bench is, you know, I would definitely even still give it to the Celtics. You know, they're not going to have Gerald Green on the bench. You mentioned Anderson and Stoudemire. You know, they're going to be short on the bench tonight. They obviously still have Winslow and Johnson and McRoberts, but I still think, you know, the Celtics bring Olenek and they bring Zeller and they bring Evan Turner and they RJ Hunter and a lot of really good players that could be starting for a couple other teams, but definitely they win the matchup over the Heat bench, especially they're going to be shorthanded tonight without Gerald Green because he's starting, and then you're talking about a lot of injuries. So definitely giving this one to the Celtics because they're at full strength and they're very talented.
All right. Now, the matchup that I want to highlight as the key matchup tonight is the first one we talked about, Thomas versus Dragic, just because Dragic hasn't been – the best player on defense. In fact, if you point to a wink link in the starting lineup defensively, it's got to be him. Sometimes he looks lost on the rotations, and also he just struggles to stay in front of quicker point guards, which Isaiah Thomas definitely is. And like we said, he's averaging 21.1 points a game. Of course, it should work the other way, too. Isaiah Thomas is only 5'9". Gordon Dragic should have no problem posting him up, and I don't care how quick you are, when you're 5'9", your arms are only so long. He is definitely a defensive liability, so it's going to be interesting to see how the coaches try to take advantage of him or hide him throughout tonight's game. Do you have any more thoughts on that matchup, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit it. I mean, these both are very talented point guards. I mean, you mentioned, we both mentioned that Dragic has not been the same this year. He's kind of been struggling. Thomas, you know, is usually a sixth man. He'll be starting tonight, and he'll be starting for a while. And definitely Dragic should take advantage of the size. He has a huge size advantage, like most point guards do when they're going up against Thomas. But, you know, it's definitely the most key matchup of the night, the most interesting matchup of the night. So we'll see how it goes. I'm interested to see how Dragic handles Thomas in his size, so it'll definitely be something to watch tonight.
Yeah, all right. And before we make our predictions, what would you say are some of the keys that the Celtics have to do if they want to win tonight?
Well, one thing is they're going to have to find a way to handle Hassan Whiteside. We mentioned they're bringing in Jared Sullinger. You know, he's probably not the best option to defend him. They'll bring in Zeller. They'll bring in Olenek. So they have to try to handle him, make sure he just doesn't go beast mode, you know, go just, you know, just crush, you know, that he has the ability to do that. He's a very talented player, especially when he has the advantage. So they have to make sure that they defend him. And this is just a general thing, but I actually heard this from Brad Stevens himself, that defense overall, you know, last night against Orlando, they gave up 100-plus points. If they do that against Miami tonight, they surely aren't winning. So they have to, you know, really tighten it up, play the defense, and then, you know, force turnovers for the Heat. They're going to be shorthanded. You know, force them to use their entire bench. It's going to be short. And limit the turnovers for the Celtics that has been an issue so far this year. So if they can really have a solid defense tonight, handle Hassan Whiteside, force turnovers on the Heat, then they should be in good shape, but, you know, it all depends. You know, it really makes a big difference then if the Heat have any of those players that were listed on the injury report.
Yep. I also think pushing the pace. We haven't really mentioned it, but the Heat have played with one of the slowest paces. They're currently 26th in the league, whereas the Celtics are the fifth quickest team in the league. And if they get Miami out running, I mean, I know that Spoelstra said in the preseason he wants this to be a running and shooting team. So far, the Heat have been neither. And it's a young season, but I really don't see it happening. And if a team can get them on the run, they've definitely got the advantage.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Real quick, let's touch on what you think the keys for Miami getting the W tonight is.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to find a way, you know. I mean, you mentioned the Celtics pushing the pace. That means keeping the pace at Miami's level. If they, you know, make sure that the Celtics aren't going at a quick, fast pace, if they're matching the pace with what the Heat would, then they should be, you know, then they definitely will be the advantage. They're making sure that the Celtics are not going at a quick pace. They're going at the slower pace. Meaning, you know, they also have to, you know, make sure that they guard the perimeter. You know, this is a Celtics team, you know, that they're not usually known for shooting the three, but they have some guys like RJ Hunter and Avery Bradley and a lot of other players, Isaiah Thomas especially, that can shoot the three. If they can limit that, make them go in the post against the Sun Whiteside, then that also should be a good thing for them, and that would give them the advantage.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. All right, before we head out, real quick, what is your projection for this game? And I also wanted to let you know, Vegas likes Miami in this game. They are favored by 4.5 points tonight.
Okay, so, you know, this is going to be a very close game. The Heat are going to be shorthanded. The Celtics are coming off a defeat last night to the Orlando Magic, so, you know, equally, you know, have the Heat that are not at full strength and the Celtics that are coming off a defeat last night. And, you know, I'm going to give the win to the Celtics. I just think that they're going to, you know, somehow they're going to handle Hassan Whiteside. I just think the Heat are shorthanded. They might not even have arguably their best player in Chris Bosh. They have a lot of other injuries. The Celtics, you know, they want to avenge what happened last night because it was not a pretty defeat. Like, most defeats aren't pretty, but yesterday was just a bad defensive performance. I think they come into Miami. I think Isaiah Thomas has a really big game. And I just think that Miami's, you know, not going to have enough players. They're not going to have, you know, especially if they don't have Chris Bosh, then that will make things much worse. So I'll give the Celtics a slight win. You know, maybe I would say in the 4 to 6 point range, so maybe like 104-98, something like that. I just think that the Celtics will have enough to pull it out tonight.
Hey, we're thinking alike tonight. I've got my predicted score, Celtics 101, Heat 98. Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game, and it's going to come down to the last couple of possessions. All right, be sure to tune in at 11 o'clock to join me and Sylvia Uvera for MSL Radio's Miami Heat post-game show. Dylan, why don't you let the people know where they can find you on Twitter?
So, you guys, you can follow me on Twitter at DJGoldman35.
And look out for her show on Saturday. What's the name of your show again?
Controlled Discourse, 8 o'clock here on MSL Radio.
All right. You can find me at JILORI_22. Be sure to tweet at our station at 305 Sports and Life. Again, at 305 Sports and Life. And I'll be with you folks after the game. Let's see if the Heat can pull it off the upset, according to me and Dylan. All right. See you folks later. The Heat is on.